it's Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.
There are more than 100 specialties in the field of medicine. However, few providers and clinics focus their care on the LGBTQ community. LGBT community health centers operate in only 37 of the 50 states, and many of those do not offer comprehensive services. A lack of access to care or a previous negative experience can keep people of the LGBTQ community from seeking medical treatment, and that can cause long-term health consequences.
Well, a new health clinic in Milwaukee wants to change that. The Frederick and Medical College of Wisconsin Inclusion Health Clinic opens today, and it's the first in the region to offer an outpatient program tailored to the full range of healthcare needs of the LGBTQ community.
Dr. Andrew Petrel is an associate professor at the Medical College of Wisconsin and the medical director of the Frederick and Medical College Inclusion Clinic. And he joins me in the studio to give us more insight into the need the Inclusion Clinic will fill in southeastern Wisconsin. Dr. Petrel, welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you so much for having me.
So why did Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin take the lead on this Inclusion Health Clinic initiative?
Sure. So the LGBTQ population faces a number of health disparities, and there's a few reasons why that is. One is that oftentimes people in this community may avoid healthcare settings because either they themselves or people that they know have had some bad experiences with healthcare, so they'll avoid it, and they may suffer some consequences from that. And on the other hand, there are certain health conditions that are more prevalent in this population, which really need kind of preventive care or screening. And so that's another reason that if we want to improve the health of this community, we want to provide a place where we can give people a welcoming and affirming environment and also the expertise that they need to get health care that will improve their overall health and outcomes.
We'll get to the specifics of health and outcome related to the LGBT community. But first off, I'm curious, what is the current status quo for LGBTQ care in the medical field across most medical providers? Because I assume that's a big reason why some people stay away from the doctors.
Sure. I think that there's a wide variety of experiences that patients report after seeking health care. Some of them are good, and some of them are not so good. There was a study that was done a few years ago by the Williams Institute, and they asked questions like, were you ever refused care that you needed, or were you treated poorly? And they even asked a question about, were you treated physically, roughly, during a clinic visit? And, you know, kind of a shocking number of people report that. Almost 10% of transgender patients reported that they were treated in a physically abusive way in a healthcare setting. But in a broader sense, I think sometimes people just don't know where they can find care that they'll feel comfortable with. And sometimes they may feel comfortable, but they might maybe missing out on some of the aspects of care that they need. So I think it's a mixed picture.
I know doctors overall vow to do no harm, but I'm wondering, are there specific policies related to LGBTQ patients that are across the board? You know, different states have different legal discriminations right now. Nothing is across the board followed by every state. So are there certain policies within the medical system that can change from provider to provider?
Sure. So I think you're right to say that there are no kind of uniform policies to protect people from different types of discrimination. One of the things that is out there to promote better policies is to seek status with a healthcare equality index, which is an index done by the HRC Human Rights Campaign. And so Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin sought leadership status with that group starting in 2014. And what that status means is that we had to ensure that our policies regarding our own employees, visitors to the hospital or facilities, as well as our patients, have policies that cover them for non-discrimination from our hospital and from our providers. There's also elements of the types of care that you provide that we need to have to get that status. And so we've attained that status in 2014 and have maintained it ever since each year.
So this has been a long-term goal to be a leader in this field.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So what are the primary needs of LGBTQ patients, and why have they not been properly addressed by the medical field? You mentioned there's more preventative care involved.
Sure. So, I mean, each person has their own kind of medical needs. And in this population, there are certain types of screening tests which may be more appropriate, or certain types of preventive measures like vaccinations or certain medications. One example would be that men who have sex with men need additional vaccines like hepatitis A and HPV vaccines, which aren't routinely given to the general population. And there are certain elements of the LGBT population which have higher rates of things like STDs and HIV. So you would want to screen that population more often for those tests.
For some patients, the consequences of avoiding care sometimes outweigh a potential bad experience they might get at the clinic. So with the clinic and the doctors, what kind of experience or training do the staff receive who will be stationed here?
Sure. So all of the healthcare providers that are part of the clinic have years and in some cases, with some of us, decades of experience providing care to the LGBTQ community. So that longstanding experience is one important aspect of it. But certainly there are people on our staff who haven't been involved in healthcare that long. And what we've done is done standardized training from national organizations. And we've also brought in trainers directly to do one-on-one sessions with our staff so that they understand some of the nuances of talking with LGBTQ patients when they come to our clinic, so that we will indeed have a very welcoming and affirming environment for our patients.
One thing that is important overall for anyone in their life is having a good primary care doctor, and then for women, having a good OBGYN. And many people will report, such as in that study, that they can't find a good OBGYN that they're comfortable with. So in addition to OB services, what other kinds of services will the clinic provide?
Sure. So, you know, we bill this as what we call comprehensive primary care, which can mean different things for different people. So we know that OBGYN care is important. So some of our primary care providers on our staff are very well versed in that type of care. But we also have an OBGYN provider in our group at the clinic. Our providers will also be able to do gender-affirming hormone therapy for transgender patients, and also to provide HIV treatment and also medication for HIV prevention, which is also called PrEP. Our clinic will also have an endocrinologist as well as a psychiatrist who will do both psychiatric medication and psychotherapy.
With so many services included in one, are there any efforts by Frater to also accept as many insurance policies as possible? Because I know a lot of these treatments, many people would have to accept the fact that either they can't do it or they have to pay out of pocket for certain things like family planning or something else.
Sure. So as far as insurance, you know, our system will take any insurance that allows people to come to us, which is most insurances. And we know that for the different variety of conditions that we'll see people for, there are lots of times some navigation that we'll have to do to help people get the care that they need. And we'll do that to the full extent that we can. And some systems have ways to maneuver through and get certain aspects of care covered, and others kind of have a permanent roadblock. And, you know, we plan to work with patients as best we can to get through those things.
What kind of effect do you hope this clinic can have, not just for the local LGBTQ community, but on other healthcare providers and services?
Sure. So we've gotten a lot of great reactions already to the announcement of the clinic. We've had a lot of healthcare providers express interest in being part of it already, including both the nursing staff and other physicians at our organization. And, you know, graduates of our medical school have gone elsewhere for their training who have heard about it and may be interested in coming back and being part of it. But I think in general, just raising awareness that this population sometimes is not treated well in healthcare settings, and demonstrating how to do it well amongst our colleagues in the rest of our system and the rest of the community, I think is good for everybody.
So you can make an announcement that'll pique people's interest, but how do you establish that trust with the patients who will be coming to your clinic to want to return?
We hope that every part of the experience is welcoming to our patients from the first time that they call to make an appointment. And from then on, of course, their experience when they get to the clinic and have their appointment. And following the appointments, it's standard for our health system and most to survey patients. But we're planning to do more extensive surveying or actual qualitative questioning of patients after their visits with us on the phone or in person if they're interested, to get their feedback. Because we want to do kind of continuous quality improvement to make sure that this clinic is absolutely a wonderful and positive experience for our patients.
In addition to the staff being of importance and the patient experience, What is the importance of involving the Medical College of Wisconsin and the students and the people who are going to be graduating out of there to pique their interest in going into a field such as this?
Absolutely. So in general, training on the subject of LGBT health is not great in medical schools overall in the U.S. and Canada. There was a survey that evaluated that a few years ago and found that in the 4 years of medical school training, that the average number of hours spent on LGBTQ health was 5 hours in the 4 years. And I think actually these days students are very interested in this topic. We've already had a number of students who've heard about the clinic, both at MCW and at other medical schools, approach us and ask if they can rotate with us and get more experience. But one of the reasons that I think that these types of clinics belong in academic medical centers is to provide the opportunity for our learners, which at MCW include medical students and pharmacy students, as well as residents training in a broad variety of specialties. And so we hope to use the clinic to provide them experience in LGBT healthcare so that they can finish their training and go on to provide excellent care to this population after they're done.
I'm curious, are there any other clinics or schools across the U.S. that you've based your model on or improved upon?
There are a relatively small number of LGBTQ-oriented clinics at academic medical centers. There are a few, and we did consult with a few people that we know doing similar things. But ours is a bit different in that we have kind of a multidisciplinary team in our clinic, which is a bit different and provides a little bit more broad care than others that we've spoken with.
Which I imagine is a greater strength compared to, say, a public health center that can serve the LGBTQ community. It won't have the same resources, obviously, as a clinic would.
Right. I mean, we have all these types of specialists at our disposal and in our institution. So we really wanted to leverage that and provide kind of the broadest level of coverage. And we think that the team we've assembled so far will provide the vast majority of healthcare needs. And we'll also plan to examine when we need to refer people to other specialists and then add those specialists to our team when it's necessary.
All right. Well, Dr. Andrew Petrel, thank you so much for coming in to talk about it today.
Great. Thank you very much.
Dr. Andrew Petrel is an associate professor at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He's the medical director of the Frederick and Medical College Inclusion Clinic. You can find out more information about the clinic and the services that it offers at WUWM.com.
You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.